661, House Bill 661. I'm going to waive that out tomorrow with the concurrence of the committee.
What is it?
It's an act authorizing the construction of Nick Arm Crossing relating to acquisition, construction, equipment, maintenance, toll, facilities, et cetera.
Did you do it according to our amendments?
Well, this will be, 661 is identical to our amended version of it, it's the House version.
No, I made a mistake, Mr. Chairman, I did, and waive it, waive the referral, please.
Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely correct, I'm glad you reminded me of that. Glad you reminded me of that. Well, I'm glad you made it for me. We have three people that's going to testify today, Jim Merrill, Bob Martin, Dan Malik. There are a series of questions that we're going to be asking that has to do with the capital projects cleanup. And wait a minute, before we get into that, we were going to have the confirmation of Commissioner Knapp on Tuesday. There appears to be a conflict there. I will be asking tomorrow some changes perhaps that, when we have our little caucus thing tomorrow. But I want the rest of the members of the committee to know that I do not want us to consider Commissioner Knapp for the position of commissioner until after we have had him before this committee and have asked certain pertinent questions. Well, this, he's out of town, that's the problem. We've extended it per his request. And part of the things and part of the questions that may come up in our talk with him will have to do with capital projects cleanup. That's one of the reasons that we wanted to get this in prior to the time we talked to the commissioner. And I think as we ask some of these questions here and ask for Mr. Merrill, for example, first, Jim, if you will, come forward. Unless you have all three of you come forward then to testify on this thing. And I will tell you some of the questions that I will be asking. And so that you'll know where we have, you ready to talk whenever. Let me tell you what I'm going to be asking. By the, and perhaps you can cover this as we go through it. By the end of the CPC, will you be able to identify the total outstanding amounts the general fund has paid, which was authorized to be paid for by funny money? And I think y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, funny money. I hope that you'll be able to clarify that. We may be injecting some questions as we go through there, but that's one of the questions. Now, after the CPC, will the problem of overprogramming be changed? I want to know that today, if we can come up with some answers on that. Also, under the present organization, whose responsibility is it to guard against over expenditures? I hope that these answers will all come out of this. What about violation of legislative intent? If we can have that question answered today, I'll appreciate it very much. One other question here. Why not, there does not seem to be a clearly defined responsibility assigned to develop, administer, monitor performance of our programs, budgets, and projects. And well, it's not even so under the new commissioner. I don't see any evidence of it. And I'd like to know organizationally, has the department identified someone or an office to be responsible for the financial management system? Those are basically some of the questions that I hope that in your demonstration here or your presentation, you can answer for us. We're going to get you copies of that there. So, for that, we'll, we're ready.
Okay, my name is Dan Malik. I'm the acting deputy for headquarters. Commissioner called me this morning and asked me to come here in front of your committee and say a few words for him on the capital project cleanup. I don't know how many of you have heard presentations that we've made before for the committees on this, but this is an ongoing project that the commission would like me to assure you is of the highest priority. We are now in the latter stages of it. We've got a decent report here. The report that you have in your hand has been the subject of a formal review that the commissioners held with each of the deputy commissioners. And as a result of our review of this particular document here, the commissioner would like me to tell you that we have gotten a very, very firm commitment from all our regional deputies to perceive exactly what the problems are that we've uncovered here, to get a clear understanding of why these problems have occurred. Some of them are difficult to understand, some of them are rather easy to understand. But in any case, we are committed as a department to move forward to not only repair the problems that we've been able to uncover here, but also to make sure that with our new procedures, that we eliminate the possibility to the extent possible answer. Some of them are also, you know, quite difficult. Fortunately, I won't be around to help Jim and Bob. I don't know how much help I could be since they have done most of the work. I have a 2 o'clock up with the governor here, but I'm just here to essentially introduce them and to indicate the fact that this is something the commissioner has a very, very high priority on and has required each of the deputies in the regions to have a firm commitment to recognize and repair.
Do you just have one copy?
Yeah, we can get some more copies of this out here as soon as we can.
You will be getting more. Our central duplicating is down on us in a week. We'll have them to you by tomorrow morning.
This is very important, too, because we appreciate your comments on that, Bob. I want to reiterate how important it is that we get some answers out of this, and it's another reason why it's important that we hear some of these answers before this committee passes on the confirmation of the commissioner himself. And that's not a threat. I don't want that message to go back to him. It's just that we need to know what he's going to do about some of these things that we have a concern for. Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that. I'm sure you're all aware that Commissioner Knapp has not had the responsibility for the department over the major period of time at which this report is covering. But he does have very clearly in his mind the responsibility to, one, make sure that we understand what the problems are and the true depth of them, and two, he does feel that he's got the responsibility to do something about them. And I'm sure he would appreciate the opportunity to tell you what he intends to do about them and when he returns.
Dan, I'm most appreciative of the fact that a lot of this problem is not his making, but he still has within his organization a number of people that were responsible for that problem that they have generated. And that's why I'm hoping that we'll have some of these answers out in front of us. So,
Mr. Chairman, question, please. When will Mr. Knapp or Commissioner Knapp be back in town?
Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning?
See, this is the problem we're faced with because we had planned on having a hearing with him Tuesday, and they're talking about the joint session on Tuesday at 2 p.m. This is our problem.
What time Tuesday?
He arrives by plane at 9:30.
What's the joint session?
2 o'clock. See, when we schedule, when we okayed him to testify before us at his request at 2, at 1:30 that day, there was no thought of the joint session at that time. Thursday the 8th. Schedule it for the 3rd, we moved it because he would be back.
what they were. That we, at one time, assumed there would be a vast number of those, and in fact, turned out to be very few. Some of those were housekeeping type of projects, and we lost track of them. There was no money involved, but the way those things are filed is simply lost track. People who were working on them left the department or whatever, but we've managed to clean most of those up. Once we've classified these projects, then we wanted to take those projects and match them against the fund source status. Now, while we were classifying them, we also asked the people to tell us how much it would take to close them. If it were active or completed and needed some sort of effort, we wanted to know how much money it would take to completely close them down. We matched that number. Hopefully, we were going to match it up against our fund source status. We broke fund source into two groups. Those projects which came before SLA 80 and those which came after. The reason for that is because it's a natural breakpoint. It's the point where legislative audit had decided that they couldn't figure out what the hell was going on back in those days. And they were just letting those ride, but in the meantime, they were doing 100% CIP audit on everything since then. So we've got fund source that's very difficult to achieve. Those are the days when all those projects were rolled underneath one COLA code. Everything was put in a big pot. So we had to consider those differences. We had heard from our own people that it was simply a matter of going into the system and it would produce us the necessary information and would do it very quickly. So we proceeded to roll. Ultimately, we found out that fund source status, as you probably suspected all along, was not so easy. In fact, it became the major effort that we're doing now in order to achieve our final closeout of project. Our first elements just went very great. To determine fund source status, however, we discovered there were problems within the data itself. We discovered that there were problems in the system, and pretty much not a problem with FMS, but on the people side of the system, how the various people in the various regions interact with the system in order to get the proper data in and the proper data back out. We discovered a few problems, organization, structure, and with operations. Not only did we do that, we came up with detailed recommendations, which we passed on to the commissioner and the commissioner and deputies, and they're currently considering those and the impacts it will have on their manpower. But in any case, our efforts changed from trying to reconcile the these four groups to the fund source to an effort to clean up the fund source itself. And in order to do that, and Jim will be going through the details later on what it will take to do that, but yes?
You have 2,950 projects. That is all since 1980?
No, there are a few projects which are prior to 1980 that are still going.
Most of them are since 1980.
And this is not necessarily a project because we're, in order to get the FMS system to work properly for us, we had to divide it the way FMS is, divide it by phases. A project may have as many as four or five phases. Some may only have one planning project written. Nevertheless, out of those...
Let me ask you a question right there. When you mention phases, say you've got one that's got three phases in it, would that be considered three projects or one project?
It's one project.
Okay. That's what I want
to find. FMS, however, operates on a bit like three projects.
There has been some interest up here on what they call two-phase funding. Well, we have one phase that's designed, and then another phase might be right-of-way acquisition, another phase utilities. We have a total of basically nine phases in our system we can use.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is you've got approximately 3,000 projects there. There's a possibility you could really have 9,000 items if you had, say, three phases on each one of those projects.
Well, we have 3,000 projects or phases here.
Yeah.
We may have only 1,000 projects.
Well, this is my point. That was the question I was asking. When we speak to a project and it's a two-phase project, is it one project that we're looking at here,
yes,
or are we looking at two if it's a two-phase?
It's a one project. In fact, we went through this number and tried to determine how many projects there were, and it looked like about two-thirds of that number, or approximately 2,000.
excessive amount of money as it could be transferred somewhere else. You couldn't tell us, could you?
Yes. Well, yeah, we could. With these, that's what we're hoping to be able to tell you by matching it to ultimately to the fund source test.
Okay, go ahead.
Number three, where we encountered significant delays, I outlined that previously. We're having very great difficulty to determine exactly what the problems are in the fund source test. And you'll see here later from Jim when he goes through that we've outlined in detail the people and the things that are necessary in the regions in order to come up with it. Did you have a question?
No.
The cost to close on each of those projects have been completely identified. And we've gone through some of those and we can see.
Good.
But you've already authorized that somewhere.
Right.
But where's the money at?
Funny money in that?
Yeah, and some of it is, if you look at the total picture, this is how much you've authorized in total, and this is how much we need in total. Not looking at how you appropriated it all, we're probably within the ballpark, including the funny money. You see, so it isn't that we need additional authorization, we're probably in the wrong appropriations.
A good example was a project we looked at and reported to the commissioner, just as an example. It was a project that had three fund sources in it, in other words, three qualification codes. The first qualification code had a bundle of other money behind it. And the people who did the project monitored it very carefully, but didn't monitor which fund source was coming out of it. So they drained their entire money out of the first qualification code. They overspent it by $600,000. The project managers weren't looking at which COLA code is coming out of. They're just looking at the bottom line. But because they overspent that COLA code by $600,000, that means that the other projects who were depending on that code didn't have $600,000 that their record showed them they had. Now, if this situation hadn't been corrected before June 30th coming out, TBA, because it's only an annual records basis, would roll over and bring only the balance forward. It would bring a balance forward that was short, $600,000 from what everybody thought they had. Meantime, the other two COLA codes in that project would have a balance forward of $600,000. And it would be a project with line items that's already completed, no place to spend the money, and the only recourse we would have is to lapse it. So meantime, forced to come back to you and say, this other project is short $600,000. Now, this is a fairly common situation that's happened over and over and over and over and over, simply because one little thing, a manual operation, wasn't monitored. And there's a number of reasons for this. One primary to my feeling is that because every time that we've reorganized and pushed some of these responsibilities closer to the region, sometimes the person who monitored it or had the job to do that, when he transferred, that knowledge may have transferred only to Anchorage or only to Southeast or only to somewhere else, and the others were left hanging. Gradually, the knowledge necessary to keep track of this massive system just deteriorated to the point where many of these little things just simply weren't done anymore. It's not in the culture of the way that the department is operating, is what Jim and I always said. Nevertheless, there are necessary things that have to be done that Jim and I have identified, and we've outlined again a way to go out there and begin to correct this closer to the source of these errors.
Yes,
his hand is up too.
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, I'd like to know if anybody in the department has any idea how much funds has lapsed on what projects or how much money is there. You know, when I look at a $482 million needed to close, people say it's there. I'm wondering, okay, is it there? And funny money, is it there because it's really there? How much of that's lapsed and how much of it hasn't?
The answer is yes.
Yes?
If we had about $20 million more,
yes, than everything changed.
$504 million, something like that. The thing we don't know is how much of that is federal money that we're going to be building a fence for, and how much of that's general fund.
Now, how much you can't build a fence for because you didn't do your paper. Jesus.
Yes.
No wonder you guys are getting gray hair fast.
Mine's falling out, feeling pretty great.
Mine is already falling out. Been gray for a long time. What the hell does four mean? You got up there, costs to close. some impending balance out there you're going to have to find $482 million to close them?
Where's Amistoff that money going to if you still got it? And is it going any?
Probably much of this is gone out to pay contractors or to pay labor or to pay some part of the project. This is the cost to close as of the 31st of January.
What, to answer your question, is the department retains no money except some small impressed funds, maybe about $50,000 in the ferry system. The Treasury of the state of Alaska may be drawing interest off of that if there's any general fund there. The department does not benefit from our own permanent fund, okay?
Well, I know that, but I also know, you know, I can make a, like I made a call, how much money you guys got left in this time, and what do we need to do about it? And I got the answer, we're not got any money lapsing. That didn't make sense to me.
We lapsed about $30 million last June. The only place that we could be losing money, quote unquote, is that we are about $32 million behind on our federal billing, which is money that we could get in right now, and
just $32 million.
I think that's the last figure that we could get into the treasury instead of using general fund to back that, we could get our bills in. And there's about, I think, $32 million worth of unbilled federal receipts. In fact, as I have that figure in my book that I won't show you. Well, I'll show you when I see it.
All right. One of the things we wanted to do right away when we discovered projects that actually were closed was to stop any sort of transactions from continuing on those projects. The rest of the work that we've done was done offline from FMS. This was the only online action we've taken so far, and that is to freeze any transactions from happening anymore on these projects that are actually closed. And we want to do that for a good reason. We have known from our experience before, or discovered that many times when there's funds left in a project, those funds are identified by a charge number that people use to charge for a legitimate charge. You carry a charge number for any length of time, it begins to lose its identity as a project charge number. It becomes simply a charge number for a task. A good example is a project kept open, say a building project kept open for a warranty. There may be $5,000 or $6,000 left in it. And the people who manage that project want to be able to go out and look at that building should there be a warranty problem. And so they would charge to that charge number and would become a legitimate charge against the project. We don't think that's a good idea to keep on doing it, because eventually it becomes a charge number for somebody to go look at projects. And in fact, that sort of culture happened. We had an instance where someone told us, please don't close this project. We're all done with it, but we're designing another project with it. We pointed out that that's not right. That effort stopped. We were trying to point out to you that because these things were happening without anybody saying that's wrong, we've developed a culture out there of doing it that way without knowing it's wrong. And we want to make sure that those guys who are doing it wrong and have to have a massive correction effort, that they'll be involved in the correction and perhaps less than planned in the future to be doing it wrong.
If I remember a couple, 3 years ago, we asked about some of those charge numbers and about some of the funds that were being used this way, and we're assured that there was nothing of that sort going on at the time, but we knew there was.
It's extensive.
I don't think they could tell you what the extent of it was, to the point that we're able to do that now.
To correct the figure I gave you, it's as of the end of February, which the last figure was $35,068,921. Unbilled federal receipts. Which,
how fast can you bill $35 million?
It's fairly automated. Why it isn't done is probably due to some internal audits.
Yeah, but whose responsibility is it to bill? Is it the Department of Transportation?
What's happened is the bill has already been paid. It's really an unofficial borrowing from the general fund that pays the bill. And we're now behind on our bill to the state, $35 million, because we haven't got back.
What you're saying, then, is that DOT, in effect, owes the Treasury, the general fund, $35 million, which you haven't collected from the federal government.
Right. Plus other borrowings, quote, unquote, in the funny we think is significant. Plus, in one of the bond issues, well, there's two bond issues, but at least one of them has an official $10 million borrowed from the general fund.
To pay for the operation.
Yeah,
in other words, the operation has been done. The project is done. It's been paid for. But they owe us money, which we haven't collected.
Yeah.
But we paid it. Is it legitimate to do it that way?
The feds never put money up front. They always pay us when we're done, and they can see what we've done, and they audit it, and they say, okay, we'll pay this, we won't pay that. What it really is that we have lost the interest, and I'd be glad to work for this, the interest on $35 million for 1 month or 2 months.
That we put up front.
Yes.
I guess my question is, are you going to make it?
This is a problem that's probably getting a little worse than it has been. A year ago, I looked at it, it was around $20 million, so we picked up maybe another $15 million of unbilled.
Would you identify that bond issue that you noted a moment ago?
I don't know that I have it in my little book here, but I can certainly get it to you. It's a very formalized thing when a bond issue borrows cash from the general fund. The problem that comes in is that when you spend it out, you may not have money to pay it back. And I'm working on that right now to see if projected-wise we can pay that $10 million back. And I'm a little nervous about the bond issues because, you know, they're the vote of the people. And they're a little sacred.
In other words, what you're saying is that a bond issue that's been approved by the people may not be able to do the job because we don't have the money to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Could be.
Okay, so you got Project X out here. Project X costs $10 million. So that's what's in the bond issue.
Yeah, that bond issue may have 30 projects or 100.
Okay, but we'll say that just to make it easy. That it is a specific, listed specifically in the project, $10 million for bridge. And the thing has been approved by the voters. The bonds have been issued, or they haven't been issued.
Well, our borrowings usually happen in that we're waiting for them to sell some, so they up front some money, so we can go ahead.
That's right. And you start the project and it's going to cost more than $10 million?
That's what happens is that we go ahead and spend and we overrun and when we're all done with that project, we should have $10 million left after we got the federal receipts back to pay the general fund back. The problem comes that the project overspends and we haven't got $10 million left.
Now, you're talking two different things.
No.
Hold it. Just a minute. When you put a bond issue and it's we'll say it's a, we'll use a different one, a dock, where there's 10% has to be put up by the state. And the bond issue calls for 10% of whatever the cost of the dock is. But you don't put in the bond issue the total cost of the dock.
But what you do is the $10 million, in this example, would be the matching that you get from the Fed. And so when you borrowed your $10 million,
right.
General fund. When you're all done with it, your project should show $10 million surplus after we get all our receipts back from the Fed and everything. Otherwise, if it's less than $10 million, we can't pay it back.
Well, do you pay that less than $10 million back, or does it just run?
No, it's a payback. It's actually a transfer back to the bond.
Well, does the state administration ever bill you for the monies you borrowed and not paid back? But they don't even know it either.
I don't know. I'm afraid. Let me tell you what's happened. Back in the old ones, the 76 bond issues and stuff, I don't think that I'm ever going to live long enough to get that straight, to tell you the truth.
Well, let me ask you about a specific bond deal, namely a place out called Sandpoint. Are you familiar with that particular issue? And the fact that there was similar to what you're talking about, because there were a number of items that was involved in that Sandpoint issue. And when it come time to pay Sandpoint off, there was insufficient funds. Apparently it had been used somewhere else in that particular bond. And of course they had to get money from somewhere. Is that an example of what we're talking about, what could occur?
That could occur. I don't know whether there was a borrowing on that bond issue from the general fund. I'm not familiar with that occurred. But Sandpoint was a really good example of where another project spent the money that was earmarked for Sandpoint. And when they came to make the contractor payments, the project manager was saying, yes, I've got money, but the state accounting system says you haven't. And so we had a bill we could not pay. And so if you remember, what happened was they moved it down to a project that was not going anywhere at the time. I think it was called the Touche or something.
The Touche facility, and that's what I wanted to get into. Well, what we're doing here, we'll let clean up. This capital project's clean up. Well, the idea, I think, behind this thing is, will that help clean up situations such as that, what we're trying to do here?
What it will do is this. That where we have the legal structure to do it within the appropriations, we will straighten that up. If we can't, we'll be coming back for two things. One, a add, amend, or delete type of bill request, or a supplemental.
I still want to know, are we going to get that $35 million billed in this year?
Yes, that's a continuing process. We always float about 15 to 20 million, maybe, type of thing.
It's so if the federal government shuts that program down, we're floating 20 million, it's just out of our pocket?
Well, they're all... We haven't billed them for it yet.
That's what I mean. Will we be billing them for it before the end of this fiscal year?
By the time we bill them, those, there will probably be other projects coming in the system that...
So it just keeps going.
Now, one of the reasons that this is up to $35 million is that there was a project, one project in Anchorage, that the federal government did not like how we handled the right-of-way acquisition. And they said, we are not going to participate in that. And it was, I think, $9 million bucks. And so we had a hassle with them trying to get our act together so they can say, okay, it's according to federal law now, we will.
Let's hold right there just a minute. That $9 million, did anybody ever get it raked up in any manner? Did they pay for that right away? Because apparently they committed themselves to the purchase of right away land. Who paid for it?
The money is probably already spent as one of these unofficial borrowings from the general fund that we have to have in anticipation of federal receipts.
When you set up the project in PBA, after the legislature authorizes, it goes into PBA, the state accounting system, as though it were real money. Even though it's not real money until the state comes behind it and fixes it. If it never, ever is going to be covered by federal money, because state accounting system considered as real and feds don't back it up with actual real money, it's spent. That kind of thing is part of what's called
$35 million that we say we've already earned.
And you've already spent.
And we've already spent general money to write the check, general fund money. We've earned it, but we have not sent the bill to the Fed so they can turn around and write us a check for it.
Do you anticipate that there will be any problem paying it?
We anticipate some problems on about $9 million of it.
Which we just discussed.
Are there some that need agreement?
Some of it is that we have not kept our paperwork up. The Feds have something they call an agreement. And we sign up and they say we agree just to $1 million. Well, if our expenditures go over that, then we have to go back and get an agreement modification. We haven't done that in many cases.
Especially glad you're not a project manager trying to keep track of the project.
Especially
when the paperwork says you got so much money and then you get there and you don't know somebody else
have
to take
the money.
It out.
One of the reasons I got in charge of this is because I came from a situation out in the field where our people were constantly complaining about it. They needed someone with that sort of experience to work with someone like Jim who has got his fingers deep into the system. And then we had others who were familiar with it all around.
Well, what's got me really disturbed is this is just DOT. How many more departments have we got in the state that may have the same problem?
I do know this, Senator, that if there are other departments that have the problem, Jim and I don't want to be involved in cleaning them up.
Well, any time that you have within the state accounting system, any time you have the ability to have a receivable, a federal receipt, as far as I know, you could have the same problem. Because the state accounting system does not differentiate a billable and a non-billable and on their over expenditure control.
So that means that we could very easily have those problems in HESS, Department of Education.
But I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, now part of this DOE stuff may be some of the DOT stuff we're talking about here.
Like the
REAA
stuff.
Public works business.
Well, we've got a lot of REAA things that are very sticky for us to close out because they're either over or under and they consider their money out there. And we're going to ask for some help in this area.
All right, what we're saying right now, we're looking at $9 million. We know we've probably lost. Plus whatever interest, regular interest would accrue on $35 million bucks, we can look at a loss right now of $9 million plus that interest.
Well, Senator Moss, I don't know that we can say that because, look, you got to think, you got to go back and think about how many millions of dollars that we're qualified for from the federal government. That's I'll use a figure, it's $145
million
a year for highway funds alone, right? Construction, that's the estimate with a new federal tax. Okay, so we're out here building roads. We have the rules of the game for every state is that we pay for that and we reimburse and get the money back. There's always going, the federal government's keeping afloat. Let's face it. That's part of the ground rules. They're keeping afloat on the money. They're not paying it out until you've paid your bill. They audit the bill to make sure that you comply with federal regulations. So $35 million probably is a lot, is too much to have rolling around.
But you're asking the feds to participate $950,000 and the general fund $50,000. That's how we plan. When we get to our performance, when we build the thing out there, the feds may only participate in $800,000, and the other $200,000 has been general fund when there's only $50,000. That's the funny money.
That's right.
And we think that could be significant.
Also, realistically, we think
said 27 and 5. That means they have approved 22 million, and there's still a question about 5 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it goes on about the same there, and then in February we hit this, we're up to 13 million really because of these Q funds or the right of way problem we had at Anchorage on the AC Comfort.
You guys aren't building that Pioneer Home in Fairfax. That's Commerce, I know, Administration, right?
I'm not really familiar with that one.
Anyway, the last thing we discovered, we knew it before, but we're starting to gather information on what's causing it. But when we enter a project into the system for any capital improvement project, there's recording errors that enter into it. And there's a real good reason why. A project is entered into FMS with a document we call Project Development Authorization, a PDA. And it is entered into the project master file of FMS. In order to get it into that file, it takes 8 separate or 9 separate entries by a key puncher.
Why?
You've asked a very good question. Why? What happens is a clerk or a secretary in her off time will sit down with a stack of new PDAs and will sit down and code a line of entry for a computer for each PDA, only a portion of it. A stack goes to somebody else, and that person sits down and codes the line out of it for each of those. This goes through as many as 9 times. And each of those 9 times, and each number written down manually and transcribed into the computer by a key puncher, is a place for an error. So we have projects that have an error on the information coming in. Now many of those pieces of information are not critical items, but Jim knew that it was a problem and took the time to go through and see what the scope of it is, and they went through some random selections of projects to compare the information to the actual law, the appropriations. And he discovered, or they discovered jointly, that 5 out of 20, 5 out of 100.
1 out of 20.
Yeah, 5 out of 100 projects were clean. Everything was reported properly.
5 out of 100 is clean?
Remember, see, you recall others, there's 9 separate entries for a PDA to get it into the master. All those different places for an error.
Well, then they might check it before it's put in.
We do not double punch. When a key punch, we do not double punch. So we're finding some of them are just key punch errors that have gone on for years.
Some are transcribing errors going from the PDA to the punch format.
How do I clean that?
Let us space. Let us face it, the 10-year report that you'll see is that, at least in my own opinion, and I wrote this sentence in there, that there has been evidently some lack of discipline in keeping the project records accurate and current.
Some? That's the most...
What is the incentive to keep it clean?
I mentioned previously that many of these errors are happening close to the field. It's also the best place to discover that it's an error. The people in headquarters aren't close enough to the project to know that Joe Blow, for instance, actually worked on a project across the creek rather than over here, or some other problem. And we want to be able to let those people know that these problems that you're suffering under, that you've been blaming headquarters for, is actually happening closer to home.
someone who wouldn't get in jail from testing it, I would like, I think I know a way that I could put 20 people on the payroll for less than 1 month and get checks mailed to my Swiss bank account, and that they would never show it having been on the payroll.
It is possible, then.
Well,
this is what
I think it has. I've never tested it.
It is possible, though, under the situation that we're looking at here now, the scenario we're looking at.
What I would like to see is someone like you, who don't mind going to jail or something, to test that and see if it's true.
Good call.
I see no controls that would stop me from doing that. I could take 20 false employees on there and terminate them before 1 month is up. And I'd get a mid-month draw on the paycheck, and then terminate right after that, and I'd have a paycheck sent to my Swiss bank account.
Now we have.
Now I think that could happen.
We have taken.
Because they don't have the monthly check.
They count employees once a month on the 16th day of the month.
Fire them on the 15th.
Have you, and I do commend you for hitting this stuff piece by piece and checking everything through. It's the only way you can really tell what's happening. In the nine separate operations, or maximum nine separate operations, have you determined whether all of those are absolutely necessary?
That question has been asked before, Senator, by other people. For instance, it's very simple in today's world to load a PDA onto a micro by someone who's close and who could check very carefully that the information is correct, that it matches the law, that even could be built in matching the law. And simply dump those micros into the system once you know that it's correct. Or it could be done on another automated basis within the system you already have. But as you know, they're spending a great deal of effort separately from us building a new accounting system called Financial Information System, which will replace FMS. In the meantime, Admin is building something that will replace PDA. And the effort to do this little thing with the PDAs may be unnecessary within a year or so. So they're reluctant to spend an effort now that it's been identified.
But now, with all the new systems that we're putting in, are we ever going to catch up? Are we ever going to know where we are?
We do know that if we don't clean this information up, if we load all this garbage into the new system, it's going to operate with garbage.
Well, we know this, that as of October 1, when they say our new system comes up, that unless we do something drastic with the data we move across on fund source status, every federal aid project you have in the department will have to stop because we will not be able to pay it. Because it's controlled back on fund source. So much general fund, so much receivables. And if we don't put that information in there correct, it stops writing checks. And that's going to be a traumatic thing, and that's why this is so important that we get it straightened as quickly as possible.
On the other hand, that situation will forever cure funny money problems.
Yeah, there will be no more funny money problems.
Thank God.
After that. And the reason it won't happen is, and it's painful to us. We have lacked the discipline among ourselves contributed to paying off.
How long can they carry forward?
Not anymore. When the new administration came in, they did stop running leave out. But it had been practiced before then that they could run it out and stay on the payroll, draw full expenses, accrue leave on leave, and that was a.
But that's an unfunded liability, essentially, because the leave is a legitimate expense against the state, and when the person leaves, retires, whatever, then they're supposed to be paid for their accrued leave that they have.
How long can they accrue that leave?
Well, it depends on where you sit. If you are in a supervisory position, as I understand it, there is no limitation on how much leave you can accrue. Correct?
That's kind of management policy.
And a BX position specifically, too. Where they
a
personal exempt. Okay. Where they don't have a sick leave and an annual leave. They have a personal leave bank. And it accumulates quite rapidly. And you take a director that's been a director for many years, and he can have a year and a half. Now they pay him off in cash. They used to let him run out as if he was there.
Yeah, but they put it under a particular record, though, don't they?
Because they pay him off once.
Pay him once.
It's properly funded, though, right?
DOA pays that bill now.
Yeah, but they pay it out of some fund that they have that is not charged against a particular budget. Having worked in state government for about 10 years and been responsible for a VRU, it was a never-ending problem of paying
assessments.
Well, because you never knew. You had no way of knowing. There was no way in the system to build in some source of funds to pay the accrued leave when somebody left. And generally, it had to come out of, you had to be very careful, and almost every year you would have to
discuss this, and I say discuss it because I think there's something that's not quite kosher here that I believe, at least I hope, everybody is interested in solving the problems on. We won't have any problems.
I think you're headed right.
He's told us to be extremely open. That's, he assured us this morning on the phone.